Will you join me in prayer? God of us all, you have called us all beloved. You have called us each by name. You have called us here this morning to gather together, to sing and to pray, to worship you and give our thanks. Lord, it is difficult sometimes for us to remember to be thankful. We ask that you would help us each day to see with new eyes, to see the beauty and the gifts of the people around us, to see the beauty of creation in this time of changing seasons. And Lord, help us to see the beauty in ourselves as well. Grant us grace and courage that we might have the words to speak that appreciation to others, that we might be able to accept when others express their appreciation to us. And Lord, as we saw in that video this morning, we know that there are places in the world where they don't have the time to stop for appreciation, that their lives are consumed simply with the busyness of continuing to exist in the search for water, in the ability to have a roof over their heads, to feed and educate their children. Lord, help us to remember to offer what we can in the way of help, but also, Lord, as a reminder of those who do go, in your name and in ours, all over the world, that all might come to know your love and grow in appreciation for all that you have provided. It is difficult, Lord. Our lives can be a challenge through sickness and loss, separation, death. We need constant reminders, Lord, that you walk with us through it all. Lord, we have brought today all of what we are, and we ask now in this time of quiet that as we offer to you those things which bring us joy and those which bring us sorrow, we might lay them all at your feet and open our hearts and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us this day. God of grace and mercy, help us to remember to offer our thanks in words and in thoughts and in deeds. In all things, let us give praise to you. And as the disciples who accompanied Jesus saw the many miracles he performed in his life, open our eyes that we might see the miracles that continue to happen around us this day as we offer the words that Jesus taught his disciples, calling to you, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning, I'm going to be your narrator for today's scripture. Our scripture lesson is a familiar tale, familiar story of the Bible, often referred to as the prodigal son. I am going to be reading the part of the narrator. This part of the church will be reading the words for the younger son. And as you read them, I ask that you think about reading them not as you, but as the younger son, thinking of what those words meant. And this side of the church will be reading the words for the older son. And I ask you to think about the emotions going on in his story. Let's together share today's scripture. Jesus also told this story. Once a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me my share of the property." So the father divided his property between his two sons.
"I packed up everything I owned and left. I wasted all my money in wild living. When a bad famine spread through the land, I had nothing to eat. I went to work caring for pigs. I would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating. No one gave me a thing. I finally came to my senses. My father's workers had plenty to eat, and I was starving to death. I decided to go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers.'"
The younger son got up and started back to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged and kissed him.
"Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son."
But his father said to his servants, "Hurry, hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Get the best calf and prepare it so that we can eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but has now come back to life. He was lost and has now been found." And they began to celebrate.
"I was out in the field. When I came near the house, I heard the music and dancing. I called one of the servants over and asked, 'What's going on here?' The servant answered, 'Your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered us to kill the best calf.' I was so angry that I would not even go into the house. When my father begged me to go in, I said, 'For years I have worked for you like a slave and have always obeyed you. But you have never even given me a little goat so that I could give a dinner for my friends. This other son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes. And now that he has come home, you ordered the best calf to be killed for a feast.'
His father replied, 'My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, and now he has been found.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, I would just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Take a moment to introduce myself. Today we're talking about appreciation. I appreciate your pastor. How's that sound? She is talking at my church about anger management. And I wonder what she's saying about me. I appreciate your pastor, my wife. Let me give you a little bit about who I am. I was raised in Saginaw, Michigan, and went to high school there, and then moved and actually graduated from Sanford Meridian High School over closer to Midland. Married and began to raise a family there as I was working in Midland at the nuclear plant. I worked for Bechtel, for many years, and as I worked for Bechtel, I first started as a timekeeper, and then I got to manual payroll, where I was in charge of running $1 million payroll every week, and people do complain if you get their check wrong, I'll tell you that. So I was doing that, and it was there that I received a call to ministry. And it was there that I received a call to ministry, and so I left that, packed up the family, and we moved to Kentucky. I didn't have a degree in anything yet, and so I needed to get a bachelor's degree and then a master's degree. So we spent 6 years down in Kentucky, and when we moved down there, we purchased a trailer, and I raised my wife and I raised three sons in a 12x60 trailer. Man, we appreciated that. It was interesting. My oldest son now lives over by Kalamazoo, and he just finished his basement and has this nice play area for his kids. And I asked him, Dan, how big's this room you finished? And he said, well, it's about 14 by 65. I said, well, I said, the house you grew up in would fit inside this, this little spot here. So we were in Kentucky for 6 years, and my first appointment out of school was up in the Thumb of Michigan. I had two churches, Kilmana and Unionville, and I began to find out, I was raised in Saginaw, I was a city boy, I began to find out what it was like to be on the farm, because my congregation had a lot of farmers. And so I thought I'd try a few things in the way of farming, and I decided one day, the gentleman next to me lived down the road, I was like, can I ride with you today? They were cutting the silage and packing it, putting it into the truck, and then packing it in the bunker and everything. And so I jumped into the truck where they were putting the silage, and I'm like, man, it's hot in here. It's an old truck. And I'm like, you know, in the city, when it's hot inside a car, you roll the windows down. And I'm just thinking, I know that farmers aren't very smart. But, you know, I had that concept, and I'm like, so I rolled the window down on this old truck, and we're cutting silage. And I found out who was smart, because the first turn we made, now I'm thinking it was on purpose, but the first turn we made, the silage started coming through that window at a pretty high rate. Right on me, and he's over there just laughing. Yep, that's why we leave the windows up when we cut silage. I'm like, okay. I began to learn a few things just about living out in the farmland of the Thumb of Michigan, and I learned, you know, you just hang out with these people, you can learn a lot of things. I actually learned while I was there. I learned the dairy farmer's waltz, which was an important part of life for the dairy farmers. And if you know, you've seen it, I'm sure you've seen the dairy farmer's waltz. The dairy farmer's waltz goes to the music of the dinner bell. And so when the dinner bell begins to ring, the dairy farmers begin the waltz into the house, and it goes like this. And as they're making their way to the house, they're doing the dairy farmer's waltz all the way up to the house so that they can get in. After that appointment, spent a few years there, moved to Carleton down in Monroe County, and spent time there, and then was called to serve up in Sheboygan, Michigan, where I served for 12 years. And beautiful place to serve, as long as you don't like, you know, any chain restaurants or anything like that. As long as you like up north, and people up north had a different attitude about tourists. Some of them really appreciated the fact that, you know, tourism was a big part of life up north, and others did not like the traffic. That all of a sudden during tourism season, you have all of these people in your grocery store, in your line at the grocery store, and in your restaurant that you usually get to walk right into. One of the people in my church kind of best described it. He had it on a little bumper sticker. If it's tourist season, how come we can't shoot them? You know, most people appreciated the tourism that happened up north. And then it was just 5 years ago that I was called to serve at the Howell First United Methodist Church. And as I was called to serve at the Hall First United Methodist Church. I began in July. And I began in July, and the first thing I did was, I says, there's a Howell Ministerial Association of the pastors there in Howell. And I says, when do we get together and how can I meet everybody that's here? And they said, well, we don't meet all summer. You'll have to wait. And so I said, okay, then I'll call the district. There's a cluster, I'm sure, of Livingston County United Methodist pastors. And so I called about that. And, oh, we don't meet during the summer. You'll have to wait. And so I'm like, oh. There was a pastor who decided, you know, to tell me about Livingston County and invited me out to lunch. Her name was Sherry Parker. She invited me out to lunch 5 years ago. We sat and talked for a while, and then we began to do our own work and to continue in that. And many of you know, just a couple of years ago, we began to date, and many of you got to be a part of our wedding celebration. And I do appreciate all that God's doing in my life through not just your pastor, but the churches and the work that we're doing. Today I want to talk to you about appreciation. And when it comes to appreciation, we've got a few things that kind of keep us back from really being thankful people. There's a couple of things that keep us back from being really thankful people. One is this idea that we've got so much stuff. We have so much, and we're always expecting to always have so much. I came across this video. It's a rap video, and so you got to stay with it. It's a young person explaining all of the ways that we nowadays complain about life and all the things that we have. Let's watch a bit of the complaining today.
Yeah,
we got these first world problems.
My fridge is so full I have to reach way back, and my sports car doesn't even have an audio jack. My laptop's battery is low, but the charger's over there. I can never find the right lid for my Tupperware. I woke up at noon. Do I eat breakfast or lunch? I don't like organic milk, and we don't have fruit punch. My neighbors put a password on their high-speed Wi-Fi, and the freezer makes my ice cream hard to scoop. Why try? My hot water ran out in the shower, which sucks because I was only in there for half hour. The other side of my pillow is not much cooler. There's no measure for inches or feet on this ruler. Something just beeped and I don't know what it was. Was it my Roomba, convection oven, or just Google Buzz? There's some cereal left, but not enough to make a bowl. I hate replacing batteries on my Wii remote control. People keep texting me when I'm playing Tiny Wings. My cleaning lady's vacuuming, I can't hear anything. I didn't read Shake Well, now I feel like I missed out. And when I opened my birthday card, no money fell out. I meant to turn on the light, but it was the disposal. My Vespa's in the shop, now how can I be mobile? Netflix is suggesting things I've already seen. And my suit is too fancy for the washing machine. There's a pebble in my shoe, I have to stop and shake it. I have to add water to this cupcake mix, then bake it. My pillow's too soft and I have too many sheets. And what the heck do I do with all these Starbucks receipts?
Poor guy.
My walk-in closet door is kinda hard to close. And my private school teacher calls my rap songs pros. My fridge doesn't have a touchscreen, first world issue. Killed a spider with a dollar cause I didn't have a tissue.
First world problems. The complaints nowadays are interesting, aren't they? Today I'm going to talk to you about a couple different worlds, and so stick with me. First of all, I'll share with you, maybe you would agree, the story of the prodigal son. Those sons are living in two different worlds. You know, when you get an inheritance like that, it's really easy to spend when you haven't earned that money, isn't it? It's like, man, it's just dropped on you, and it's like, we're going to go spend that. And it's this other world where the son is working away and continues to grow the farm and the inheritance that he will someday receive. Today, we have an interesting dilemma between the virtual world and the real world. In my day, there were these people in school that were daydreamers. Were any of you daydreamers? Come on, some of you were daydreamers. And you were a daydreamer and you'd be flying a plane or you'd be going to the moon or you'd be fighting a dragon or you'd be marching in an army or you'd be walking along the beach and then the teacher would say, hey, get back to the real world. Come on back to the real world. And our daydreaming would be over, and we'd have to get back to the real world. The interesting thing today is, with the idea of a virtual world and a real world, the next generation in us also can actually go and try and slay the dragons and fly the airplanes and march with the armies and do all of those things. And every once in a while, somebody will come along and say, hey, it's time for dinner. Get back to the real world. Step back here where the real world is. And so it's a little different than when I was a kid. But it's also much different because the virtual world does a few things really well. The idea of reward and appreciation are done real well by the virtual world. Picture a world where you can live. Picture a world where you can live that if you're walking down a path and there are two choices and you actually make the right choice, picture a world that when you make that right choice, a bunch of rewards start coming. A bunch of things just start blessing your life. You pick up all kinds of things along the way because you chose the right path. Picture a world where you're playing basketball, and every time you go down the court and make a basket, the crowd goes wild, and the cheering begins. And every time you swat somebody defensively at the other end, there's people screaming and yelling because you did that. Picture a world where you put all of your energy and strength and overcome a great barrier or a great hill, and at the top of that hill, you've made it to the very end, and because you're standing there, fireworks go off, and all kinds of awards start happening in your life. Picture a world where even if you make a bad choice and a mistake, picture a world where even if you make such a bad choice that you die, you just ring up another life. Picture a world where even mistakes get all kinds of grace. I was reading that one of the new advertising and marketing programs are on the new virtual world games that are online. If you're online and playing one of these online games, the newest thing is reward marketing, which means if I'm playing soccer on my video game and I've taken 20 shots and I've missed them all and I'm losing, a screen will come up and it will say, would you like to watch a short video and earn 30 more shots? Seriously, that's where we're at, folks. Would you like to watch a short video and earn 30 more shots? Would you like to watch a short video and get a brand new life? Would you like to watch a short video? And in that short video, what? You got to watch the advertisement, and then you get the reward, the bonus. Picture a world where you set the alarm early in the morning and you head off to work. And you work all day and you do the best you can for the company and so that you can feed your family. Picture a world where you're all day long succeeding and making good choices and doing the work that needs to be done. Picture a world where at the end of the day you get in the car and nobody says a thing. And you drive home and picture a world where that's just the way it is. You've worked all day. You've done all of that, and there are no fireworks, and there are no bands playing, and there are no candies falling from the sky. Picture a world where you are living, and you've got before you a very difficult choice, and you know the choice here is the wrong choice, that it leads to a bad road you don't want to go down, and you're over here and you decide to make the right choice. But picture a world where you make the right choice and nobody knows about it because you're in a hotel room across the country and you've made the right choice and there are no candies from the sky and there's no fireworks to be shot off. And we wonder and we wonder and we wonder, why is it that the next generation wants to live in the virtual world so much? because it's a world of appreciation and reward. And even if you don't get anything from the sky, or if you don't get anything in the way of new weapons or strength, you're going to get some XP. You're going to get some experience points. You'll buy something later. But also in this world over here, where sometimes they try real hard, our children try real hard, and they fail, and they're not given another chance because they've failed. Gary Chapman, in the book Growing Up Social, it's what we've based the series on, suggests in the chapter on appreciation that we can go from a got-to world to a get-to world. Now, that's over here in the real world. Can we really move from got-to to get-to? And what does he mean? What does he mean? Well, here's what he means. Just one small letter can change our attitude. I've got to go to work today. I've got to get up early and I've got to go to work. What if we woke up and said, I get to go to work today. I get to go to work today. I got to clean the bathrooms sooner or later. Somebody's got to clean the bathrooms. We got to clean the bathrooms. This is a tough one. Do you really want to say, I get to clean the bathroom? I get to use fresh hot water if I want to clean the bathrooms. I get my choice of supplies that I can use to clean the bathroom. I get to clean the bathroom because we don't have outhouses. We have real bathrooms. And we get to flush the toilet and we get to take hot showers. You know, I've got to go to the grocery store. Do you ever think of saying, I get to go to the grocery store? I don't have to walk. I get to get in my car. I get my choice of grocery stores. And when I go to the grocery store, I have yet to go to the grocery store and say, you know what? They have absolutely no cereal. I'm walking at Meijer's, and they have absolutely no cereal. No, I get to go to the grocery store. You know, it's because we've gotten used to always having all kinds of stuff. And always wanting more and more, and it's just supposed to be there. I wanted to show a picture. Does anybody recognize this? Man, you remember. If you were around when my kids were young, they're in their 30s now, but they wanted these He-Man toys, Masters of the Universe. And I was in Kentucky. I mean, we were scraping to get by every once in a while. Every once in a while, we had enough that we would say to one of the kids, let's go to the store. I know you've been wanting this Prince Adam toy or whatever it is. We're going to go to the store and buy it. And so we'd go to the store, we'd find it on the shelf, and I could see they were smiling. This is cool. And I actually give them the money. Here's the cash. You go ahead and check out and pay for it. And they pay for it, and man, they're excited. They're smiling. They get out to the car. And what's the first thing that every parent says when they're in the car with a toy like that? Okay, don't open it till we get home. Because there's little pieces in this thing. And so I simply say, don't open it till we get home. And so, okay, back of the car, sitting there. And here's what happens. They look at that toy. Man, I got a new toy. And then they turn it over. Do you know what's on the back of this toy? On the back of this toy is a list and a picture of all the toys they don't have yet. Of all the other guys in this series that they don't have yet. And so I'm telling my child, don't open your toy, and then boom, turn on the other side. By the time we get to the house, the appreciation level has declined radically because all of a sudden they're like, yeah, this is a cool toy, but look at all I don't have yet. Look at all I'm still missing. And yeah, they would go in and play with the toy, but a part of me hurt when that happened. Now, all of us have a little something in us. For some of us, it's technology. Where we'll say, you know what, I've got the newest thing, and then the next newest thing comes out. And we're looking at our phone, this is a great phone. Oh, they've put out a new one? My phone's not as good as it was yesterday. I might have to get me one of those new ones. And some of us, it's like cars. It's not cars for me. I've got a 2004 Buick LeSabre. You can go and admire that over in the parking lot over here. 220,000 miles, and I want to get 100,000 more out of it. I mean, I just love this car. But each of us has a little bit that's a weakness, and for me, I'll just be honest with you, for me, it's entertainment, certain entertainment. I have been to the Brighton Theater here many times at midnight. Do you know why I'm there at midnight? Because it's a new release of The Avengers or The Hobbit or something that just came out. And I look around when I'm there at midnight, and there's all, and some of these, you know, they're dressing up, and it's really cool evening. And I get there, and I look around, yep, I'm the oldest one here. This is the way it is. Does anybody know that in December, Star Wars 7 is coming out? And man, if you're a Star Wars fan, this is like, woohoo! The first six, yeah, they're okay. But this is what's coming up next, and I've got to see it. You know, I'm trying to think, what is it in the world that could possibly keep me from seeing that new release, Star Wars 7? You know, I'd go with a broken leg, whatever. So each of you have something. It's like, you know, every time I see this, the stuff I have looks a little dingier or a little older, and I don't appreciate it as much. We get from the got to the get to world. I've got to go to school, or I get to go to school. I'll show you a picture. We went to Haiti. My daughter and I went to Haiti several years ago, and I will tell you what these Haitian children say. They say, we get to go to school. Because not a lot of them get to go to school. We get to go to school, and we enjoy that, and they appreciate that over and over and over again because they get to go to school. Can we really change the way we look at the world and see things a little differently? It gets us back to those two worlds. And the idea here that Gary Chapman leaves with us is about parenting. About parenting. And Gary Chapman says, when you as a parent realize it's your responsibility to model Thanksgiving to your child, it changes the way you see the world. I want to leave that up there for a while for you to look at. I want you to think of that younger son with all that money that he got, living in a different world than the other son. He's living in a world where he doesn't appreciate all that he's been given and all that he has, and he squanders it away. Did you catch what the older brother said? Father, I've been working for you for a long time, and you never gave me a party. There was no candy coming out of the clouds and all of that. I just faithfully did what I continue to do over and over and over again. We have this thing called the virtual world. We have this thing called the virtual world. And I will promise you this. The virtual world is getting better and better and better at reward and appreciation. So much so that new games are almost addictive. Because of this reward and spacing it out just right. They've got psychologists that are looking at these games, and they're saying, no, don't give that reward yet, because they'll turn the game off if you do. If you do it too early, and don't give them that big a reward because it's a stopping place, they'll shut it off. And they're working through all of that because they want to get better at reward and appreciation. And here in the real world, how are we doing? Are we working harder and harder each and every day to set a stage of thanksgiving and appreciation for the people around us? It may mean sitting at the dinner table and looking at your spouse and saying, these potatoes, oh my goodness. You're serving real potatoes. This is awesome. I want to thank you for the way you whip these potatoes because they're perfect consistency. And I just want to thank you for the way you've served these potatoes. And the kids at the table are going, what? What was that? It's food. And so we say that, or maybe she would say, you know, honey, I just want to thank you. I got in the car this morning and I was kind of upset because I knew it's yucky out and I knew I had to stop and get gas before I got to work. And I looked and the gas tank was full. You had filled it. I just want to thank you for doing that for me. I really appreciate that. I really want to thank you for doing that and modeling that kind of thanksgiving. And what about our children? What if we take those children who have just played in that ball game and actually look them in the face and say, "Son, I want to let you know that what you did on the field there, not just your talent, but the way you handled yourself. I know some things went bad and you kept your composure, and I just want to say thank you. I appreciate that. I'm proud to be your son." And you know what will happen? The fireworks will go off and the band will start playing and the rewards will start coming into that child's life. You know what? I don't know about you as a kid, but as a kid, I would have rather had my dad look me right in the face and just hold my face in his hands and say, "Son, I'm so proud of you, the way you conducted yourself today, the way you did this. I am glad that you're my son. I appreciate who you are." Folks, we can change this world by adding all of that appreciation and reward and model it for our families. But even more than that, this is Gary Chapman's quote. I'll give you my quote. "When you as a Christian realize it's your responsibility to model thanksgiving and praise to God, to the world, it changes the way you'll see the world." If it's your task as the people of God to model praise to God, it'll change the way you see things. It'll change the way you see a sunset. It'll change the way you see a beautiful day like today. It'll change the way you see the fall colors. It'll change the way you stay up tonight and watch this lunar thing. The end of a lunar tetrad, a blood moon, and all of that, if you don't know what it is, enjoy. But it'll be like, "Okay, God, you know, this dance that happens in the sky, I get to watch this. Praise God." What if we realized it's our responsibility as the people of God to model thanksgiving? We'd have to end with this question: am I modeling a truly thankful heart? Do people look around and say, "You know what? I go through the grocery store and I check out and I tell the lady," and my family's right there behind me, "I tell the lady, 'Thank you for placing the eggs over there nice and softly. I appreciate that. And thank you for not throwing my chips down there. I like my chips whole. I really do. Thank you for not just smashing them in a bag. Thank you for doing that.'" And what happens when our kids see and model that? Maybe they'll want to step out of their virtual world a little more often and begin to share that world, not just with us, but with others, and begin to learn what it's really like to praise God and to offer our thanksgiving to God. Am I truly modeling a thankful heart? Let's pray together. Lord, sometimes it's difficult. Some of us work really hard and grind away and do some wonderful things, and sometimes it seems like there's no thanks at all and there's no reward. It's just because we're supposed to, or it's a part of the duty that we have. Lord, we realize in our faith that someday all the rewards that we've earned will be given to us and shared with us for eternity, but right now, we want to model thanksgiving. We want to be those people who come into other people's lives and say, "I just want to thank you for being my neighbor. I want to thank you for being the person who works beside me each day. I want to thank you for waiting on us at the dinner table. I want to thank you for having such a good restaurant. I want to thank you. And then, Lord, as the people of God, may we be those who look to you always and say, "God, thank you that I can get out of bed today. Thank you that I can get in my car. Thank you that I have a place to worship with people who know me and I know them and we love each other. Thank you that we have music and beautiful voices to share. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit." And Lord, may we be people that truly have thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.